Right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the ADA December 9th, 2020 board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Alyssa to call the board members. Roll call.
Julie Sandy. Anna McKinnon.
Here.
Bill Kendig.
Here.
Albert Fogel.
Here.
Julie Anderson.
Here.
Bernie Carl.
Here.
Dana Pruse.
Here.
All board members are present.
Thank you. Would you continue with staff in public, please?
Would staff in the room please identify themselves?
Alan Weissner, ADA.
Robert Hopkins, ADA.
ADA. Alyssa Wilson, ADA. Will staff members on the phone please identify themselves?
This is Kevin Buckland with ADA.
Curtis Fair, AEA.
Stefan Saldana, Department of Law.
Ann Tappan, ADA.
Can any other members of ADA or our staff please press star 9 to raise their hand?
Thank you. Item number 4 is agenda approval. You can take a look at that. Is there any objections to the agenda? And I'll take a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I'll motion to approve the agenda as stated.
This is Bill. I second.
Thank you, Albert. Thank you, Bill. Item number 5 on our agenda is prior minutes for October 28, 2020.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I move that we approve the meeting minutes as presented.
This is Bill. I second.
Thank you. Further discussion, corrections, additions, deletions, any objections to adopt the minutes? Hearing and seeing none, the minutes are adopted for October 28th. That brings us up to item number 6, public comments. I'd ask the public making a comment today to please limit the comment to what's on the agenda, 2 minutes per person. And please state your name and affiliation, if any, clearly for the record so we have it. With that, I'll let you go to the meeting list there, and we would like to make a public comment.
Anyone who would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 to raise your hand.
You called on me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can you please state your name for the record?
Yes, this is Ken Kastner. I'm a resident of Homer. I'm calling today about item number 7A, which is the executive session that you're going to go into. I spoke yesterday to your budget and audit committee to raise similar objections about what you are dealing with in executive session. I think that you spend way, way too much time in executive session. I understand that you're dealing with, things that are of some sensitivity, but you're also dealing with public money. And the public has a right to know who you're dealing with. The public has a right to know how you reach your decisions. The public has a right to know what you are discussing, what the subject matter is that you're discussing under the protection of an executive session. On September 16th, your combined meetings, you spent 6 hours and 28 minutes in executive session. On October 28th, and for your combined meetings, you spent 4 hours 45 minutes in executive session. And I think that my obligation under the Open Meetings Act is to tell you that you are not exempt from doing this in public. You can't just pick and choose things that you don't want to say in public or want to discuss in public. I know that industry deals in private all the time. People have their own offices, and they do that. But this is public money. It's a public authorization that you have to do this, and you need to meet the Open Meetings Act. I especially have problems with the non-scheduling of public hearings. Every single meeting should have a slot on the agenda for public comment. I was allowed to speak yesterday, but it was only because I was there and they recognized me. But there was nothing on the agenda to allow for public comment or to invite public comment. So I think I've written some letters. Some of them have got through to you. Some of them haven't got through to you. I have no control over that. So I hope that you can handle this administratively so that it doesn't have to be handled judicially. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kastner. Is there anybody else online?
Yes, my name is Holly Sheldon Lee, and I'm calling from Talkeetna. Online, you state that you give 3 minutes for public comment. So if that is an inaccuracy, you might change that. I have written the board regarding the policy of first come, first serve for the CARES money that is being distributed to the small businesses in Alaska that are going out of business. I would like to remind the board that the government workers have not been affected by this, and those of us who have grown up here and have worked hard all our lives, 7 days a week, are the ones falling victim. So I would like to offer the idea of fractionalization with the remaining CARES money. In my letter that I think only the board was privy to, but I would like everyone to have a copy of it. You have gone through an enormous amount of money, and we are literally losing our businesses, some second, third generation businesses in Alaska. The second item that I want to speak to is the interdepartment policy within the state. There are state charges and now interest going out, raising of state rates such as our DOT hangar lease lot on the Talkeetna Airport, unprecedented raise this year in the lease itself, and then we're getting charged interest on that raise and the lease payment that we can't pay because the National Park Service interpreted the state mandates in a way that completely canceled our mountain climbing season, that we took reservations for 3 years for the 2020 mountain climbing season and the scenic passenger flying season to Denali. So we're in deep trouble along with our peers, and we are imploring you to revisit how you distribute the rest of the life-giving money to those of us who grew up here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for those comments. And I would ask the staff to make sure everybody gets a copy of her comments.
If anyone else would like to make a comment, please press star 9 to raise your hand.
Great. I'd like to thank the folks for their comments today. Go to item number 7, new business. Item A is executive session, confidential matters related to the ADA dividend, commercial finance loan modifications due to today's economic challenges that we have, the Ambler Access Project, and ADA's workforce organization.
I move that the board enter to an executive session to discuss confidential matters related to FY 2022, Ada dividend to the state, commercial finance loan modifications, Ambler Access Project, and Ada's workforce organization. This is supported by the Open Meetings Act of AS 4462.310, which allows the board to consider confidential matters in executive session. In this case, the board believes that these are subjects which would have an adverse effect on the finances of Ada are protected by law due to rules protecting personal privacy and certain business information.
Thank you, Bernie. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Julie. With that, would we go into executive session and do the appropriateness of the telephone lines? And our main man back there. Ron? Well, welcome back, everybody, back to the regular agenda and the business at hand for Ada. I will make the statement that the board did not take any formal actions on the matters discussed while in executive session. Does anybody else have a comment to talk about the executive session? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number B, FY20 Ada Financial Statements Update to BDO Audit Presentation.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I don't know if we want to give an update, but I know that we have received in our packets today the financial statements for Ada, the audited financial statements, and I'd like to move that the board accept the 2020 Ada audited financial statements report as presented at today's board meeting.
This is Bill. I second.
Thank you. Discussion on the audit? All right. Any objections to accepting the audit? Hearing and seeing none, the audit is accepted. Brings us to item number C, resolution G20-30, declaration of Ada's annual dividend to the state. Alan?
Mr. Chairman, before this resolution number G2030,
Microphone, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Excuse me.
We're all on.
Mr. Chairman, this is regarding.
Microphone on? Yeah.
Yep. This is regarding resolution number G2030, resolution of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority determining dividends to be made available to the state for fiscal year 2022 and providing a procedure for making dividends available.
All right. And Alan, I noticed the resolution, not reading the whole thing, basically recommends a sum of $17,097,200, which is approximately 50% of our net income as defined by statute. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct, but that is specifically for the revolving fund. The dividend at 50% of our net income and adding all of the funds, just to summarize, would be $17,305,000.
All right. So for discussion, I'll take a motion to put this on the table, first and a second, then we'll have discussion about it.
Mr. Chairman, this is Albert. I would like to motion that resolution number G20-30 be approved with a 50% dividend.
This is Bill. I second.
Thank you. So the motion is on the table for discussion. Board members have comments to make. For the record, Julie Anderson?
Yes, thank you, Chair. I do support the 50% dividend. I think it's important in this troubled times that all the help that we are trying to give to the residents of the state that Ada step up to the plate as much as all the other entities have, and we can do whatever we can to help stem the disastrous economic conditions that we are in and offer what help that we can by supporting the state and their efforts. We here at the Department of Commerce have done quite a bit to alleviate fines, fees, provide some form of assistance to all the small businesses and entities that we either regulate or protect, whether it's through the consumers or the industries themselves. And I think it's important that we all try to do what we can to help move us into a better situation for the next fiscal year.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further, Bill, Mr. Kendig?
Yeah, this is Bill. I think I'm going to support this 50% dividend, but I would like to add that we don't know where we're going to be in the next fiscal year. We don't know. I don't think we know the financial effects of COVID yet. I'm afraid of a delayed reaction, and we need to be really cautious and be able to protect our assets.
Thank you, Bill. Julie? Ms. Sandy?
This is Board Member Sandy. I appreciate the conversation and the discussion today. You know, I think while there are many things that are outside of our control and certainly unprecedented times, we also recognize the great work that our agencies throughout Alaska and the people who work for them have done on behalf of Alaskans. And I certainly will support the 50%, the full dividend today. Thank you.
Thank you. Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Board Member McKinnon here. Mr. Chairman, it is our fiduciary responsibility to look at the balances of the need of the corporation, the performance both in the rearview mirror and the performance going forward, or the possibility of performance or challenges that ADA may face in the future. And as other board members have already stated, Alaska, like the world, is experiencing the shock of the pandemic and unknown consequences to businesses across our state. And so as we consider establishing an amount to pay, which is established in state statutes, and I would also state that the calculation to look at net profit is also in state statute. And so the staff has applied the conditions in state statutes on three of our funds, and that calculation number has come out with a net operating profit for our organization. With that, there remains uncertainty in the world around us and in the business environment around us. But given all in, with all consideration of what the small businesses are experiencing through our state and the decisions that small businesses are having to make, I think it behooves us to look at the 25% threshold that is laid out in statute, which is the minimum dividend if we have net profit that we should consider, and the maximum at the 50% threshold. And given Commissioner Anderson's comments and what I know, working with the team at the Department of Revenue, this administration has reached out to businesses and to individuals across our state and tried to offer them relief through changes in regulations and changes of not doing fees, of not collecting different sources of income. I just know it's really tough out there for the state, and it's tough out there for Alaska businesses, and I appreciate the administration helping our small businesses by the waiver of those fees. And I know that the delta between the minimum and the maximum dividend contribution from ADA is a balance of our needs and of our ability to help solve economic issues off into the future. With all those things considered, Mr. Chairman, I will support a 50% dividend to the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Anna. Bernie?
Mr. Chairman, Board Member Carl, I was against paying a 50% dividend, and through the wisdom of this board and one board member in particular, Mrs. McKinnon up there, she convinced me that possibly the 50% dividend was the way to go. In the end, she won. I was pretty solid on 25% because I know what the future is, and it's going to be tough. So I thought that that's where we needed to be. But obviously, I was wrong, and I'm going to support the 50%.
Thank you, Bernie. Albert?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with all the other board members' comments, and I think it's vastly important that we partner with the state and the state partners with us, and to show that good faith, I will be supporting the 50% dividend.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'll go last. I think I'll start off by saying that congratulating the staff and my fellow board members on a very exceptional year to be able to declare a dividend to begin with. I will also mention that in reality, the true assets that Ada has to in order to facilitate a dividend is quite frankly about $300 million. And I'd like to make sure that's on the record that at $34, $35 million, based on what we're basing our dividend on, that the staff and the board should be commended for actually doing more than 10% rate of return on what I call the performing assets. That being said, as a couple of board members have mentioned here today, that we are in very rough waters. It's unfortunate. It's not by anybody's doing. It's hard to predict the future. It's hard to even manage the future because we don't know what the future is going to bring as far as economics in Alaska. We do know we can always look back. We do know that because of low price of oil, because of COVID-19, and others, what I call smaller issues, that it's a distinct possibility that next year will be a little more stressed than this year. And some things will be in our control, and some things will not be in our control. And at the end of the day, this dividend is representative of 2020. But for the record, we are in troubled waters. We are trying to navigate the ship as best we can based on the information that we have, which I do appreciate the staff staying up to date, keeping us up to date as best they can. But the challenge is ahead of us. And make no bones about it that if the chips fall the wrong way, it will not be a pleasant dividend discussion for 2021. If the chips fall the right way, it'll be a great discussion for 2021. And some of this stuff we can't control. So that being said, I will support the 50% dividend to make a unanimous from the board with the caveat that the board member Kendig said that we have to be very, very cautious. And FYI, we're in troubled waters. Where we make the return on investment, the $300 million, is challenged right now because of COVID-19 and the price of oil. We'll do the best we can. I have confidence in the staff and the board that we will do the best we can for the public and let the public know as much as we can without violating confidential information to the folks that depend on us for loans and investments, violating their financial information. So that being said, I will ask Alicia to poll the board.
Ms. Sandy?
Yes.
Ms. McKinnon?
Yes.
Mr. Kendig?
Yes.
Mr. Fogel?
Yes.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Carl?
Yes.
Mr. Pruse?
Yes.
Resolution passes unanimously.
Thank you. And with that passage, I would like to put on the record, and I would imagine there will be a public release of this, public announcement, of this, with the $17 million that Ada has now given to the state, $439 million plus dollars in dividends. I will tell you that since I've been on the board,
It's over $120 million since I've been fortunate to be on the board. I think it's good work. Correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, the dividends we've given to back the state are more than the state has invested in ADA itself, other than, you know, the special programs that we've implemented for them. And I think that's a good thing. And I think that information, the public needs to understand what we do, why we do it, and the benefits for why we do it for. Is that correct, Alan?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
All right. Thank you very much. So, under next items, item number D, AK Safe Guaranteed Program Update. Alan?
Mr. Chairman, what we have provided is a memorandum that is seeking to update the board on the performance of the AK Safe Guarantee Program, which was initiated and established through Board Resolution G2010 on March 27th as an emergency measure by ADA's board to support Alaska businesses in surviving and managing the COVID-19 pandemic. I do want to highlight that the program is one of the portfolio of emergency provisions that ADA put in place at that point in time to start addressing at the very early stages of the economic impact to the Alaska economy. It is a program that is in furtherance of ADA's statutory mission of advancing economic development and providing additional employment opportunities in the state of Alaska. I would like to provide a brief summary of it and also ask that Jeff Johns, who is ADA's investment officer, who has been principally looking at this program, join us to give a summary. But to introduce Jeff in this case, what I'd like to make sure is that we are able to report through the emergency program, one of several implemented by ADA's board, that the authority was able to support and preserve in excess of 600 jobs and provide surety for loans in excess of $7 million currently with the program for Alaska's businesses in need during this crisis. Jeff, would you please join us and give a summary of the status of the program?
Please press star 9.
Yes. Hello, Alan, and members of the board. This is Jeffrey Johns speaking. As Alan referenced, is AK Safe was one of a suite of programs that ADA established to secure jobs and businesses within the state of Alaska as a result of the Governor Dunleavy's COVID-19 emergency declaration. AK Safe is a unique program where ADA is providing a loan guarantee on a second advance for a pre-existing loan with financial institutions and their business clients for Alaska-based businesses throughout the state of Alaska. This is a unique program in the sense that it is at the discretion of the financial institutions to whom they extend this guarantee and ultimately apply to ADA for the AK-Safe guarantee application as it is an advance and additional debt load that those businesses need to be evidence that they can service said debt through those financial institutions. When the program was initially announced, we received almost 200 inquiries from various businesses, individuals, and loan officers in the form of emails or phone calls through an established hotline. As a result of all of these inquiries, we have provided AK Safe guarantee numbers to, as of effective today, 26 businesses now. We have entered into 10 guarantees. An additional one was approved by the ADA Investment Committee 4 business days ago. This week, I am actually processing 2 final AK Safe applications for an additional $2 million. We are aware of the timeline in terms of the program availability, and the financial institutions are prepared to act as quickly as they can. As Alan highlighted, one of the key metrics of this program was the fact that we were able to demonstrate that we were supporting the preservation of approximately 650 jobs throughout the state of Alaska. We had in interest from various financial institutions, of which there include the First National Bank of Alaska, Northrim First Bank, and Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. Those businesses represent hotels, lodges, retail, tourism-based restaurants, sight seeing, as well as commercial fishing businesses throughout the state, as far south as Petersburg, Ketchikan, and Sitka, throughout the Kenai Peninsula, as well as here in the broader Anchorage area, including the Matsu Valley. I believe that the program was successful to date. We've entered into a total in excess of $7 million of guarantees, of which we believe that we have set aside a satisfactory amount in terms of reserves in the unfortunate event if the borrowers do default. However, again, it's emphasizing the point that the guarantee applications were only brought to ADA upon the strength of the borrowers as evidenced by the participating financial institutions. At that, I will conclude my remarks and open to any questions or comments that the board may have.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
What I would like to also just personally thank is the participation and the support that we've received in this program from the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, First Bank, Northrim, and First National Bank of Alaska. They've been essential in the implementation of the program. They've given us feedback through that in the ongoing process, and they've been, again, very supportive for the entire program. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just wonder, Alan, do you know if the aviation business that talked to us, do you know if they know about this program? The one that is looking for money that has problems
up in Talkeetna, Shelton there?
That I am not aware of, if they are one of the ones that initially acquired on that. The program, it was defined by the board through its resolution to coordinate with the governor's emergency order. So initially, the date was November 15th. That was then subsequently extended to December 15th. So that is the deadline at this point in time as defined by the board for the existing program.
I'm just wondering, do you think she might know about this? Because this might be something that's very helpful to them.
I think we should share that information with her.
Yeah. Thank
you. I think, actually, my ask is that that someone from ADA contact the individual that testified this morning.
Yep.
and offer all the programs. Or at least all the programs that may or may not benefit that organization sooner than later.
Yeah, that would be nice. I totally support that. Thank you.
Julie?
So if someone from the public was just becoming aware of this program today, there's still time to apply and there's still money in the program. Is that accurate?
Yes, there is, but there is a very limited period of time.
Till the 15th of the month.
Yeah, till the 15th, unless the board chooses to change the terms of the underlying emergency procedures. But I only highlight that from the standpoint that we have timed all of our emergency procedures with the declaration, which is a statewide declaration by the governor on emergency.
It's set to go out when, Commissioner?
We have not heard what the status of extending those orders is.
So would it be an automatic extension on this program if he extends?
That's my understanding, yes.
Right. We'll just wait for that then.
Okay.
And what I would highlight,
but
too,
if
is...
if you told the person up there, maybe they, in a place for him, maybe they can at least reserve something prior to it.
They have plenty of time until the 15th to get in. Shoot, this is only, what, the 8th or 9th?
Yeah. And the person we're talking about is Holly Sheldon Lee.
Yes.
Is called up.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, is that it for the guarantee program?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, unless you have any other questions.
Well, let's move on to the AK CARES program update. Very confusing. Guarantees, AK CARES.
Well, Mr. Chairman, this is another one of the programs that ADA's board had authorized, and this one is ultimately through our resolution. Excuse me, looking at Resolution G-2018, which established the AK CARES program. This is a program that we're working with Department of Commerce, and this is a grant program that is at the direction of the Department of Commerce. What I have provided is a memorandum, and this will be also listed on our website, which is updating the current status of the program. This was initiated ultimately with the governor's emergency order of April 8, 2020, in which we and ADA's board initiated regulations for an emergency loan program. Ultimately, this was converted into a grant program based upon the availability and allocation of CARES Act funding, which were provided by the state, and that was through Governor Dunleavy's allocation through an RPL, which was subsequently approved by the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. So with the establishment of the program and the opening of the program on June 1st, we were allocated originally $150 million, and that was then ultimately increased to $280 million for the underlying AK CARES program. What I would like to point out is that with the program structure, it gets structured in concert with Department of Commerce in looking to address the business relief necessary for Alaska's seasonal businesses that were not obtaining that same relief from initially the federal programs. Now, that changed over time, and ultimately the AK CARES program changed over time to work with those current programs to provide additional relief to Alaska's businesses. But the program itself was defined to provide in amounts that were between $5,000 to $100,000 based upon eligible expenses. The program was designed to cover a broad range of expenses incurred by Alaska businesses and was not isolated solely to programs like payroll, as the payroll participation program and allocation for some additional expenses. This was across a broader gap because of, again, Alaska's needs, the seasonality requirements of Alaska's businesses to be able to address those that have been impacted with the timing, ultimately, of the COVID-19 emergency. The AK CARES program provides a higher grant cap at $100,000 than other proposed state programs and others proposed or state programs that we see that were ultimately implemented with similar funding that was available for the CARES Act. In that case, those programs provided a lower amount with less information that was being required to be provided. We felt that there was a program that needed to be put in place that provided a higher amount, but that then needed to have some additional scrutiny in the eligible expenses. So in establishing the program, it had some complexity, and that in itself created some challenges that we worked through over the course of the program to ultimately make sure that we're expediting funding to Alaska's businesses. Ultimately, we were able to initiate the program principally at first with Credit Union One, where they created their own portal for applications. Later in August, we brought in the Juneau Economic Development Council, who joined us as an additional program operator. DCCED dedicated a large amount of their staff to start addressing applications and grant processing. ADA created a team of which Alyssa Wilson was a leading supervisor and had oversight on our team here at ADA. Additionally, ADA created a team which was doing the payment processing for the grants that were being approved through DCCED and ADA's specific team. So it became a much broader application. Principally within that, I do want to highlight that ADA in August, when certain phase changes were happening with the program, created an online portal which made it easier for applicants to submit their application, made it easier for us to ultimately process that and disseminate the applications to the different program operator groups, and I believe was instrumental in facilitating the process to get us to the current point. Current point being that of the $280.8 million roughly that ADA received from DCCED for the underlying grant program, as of December 2nd, 2020, which is then the date of the community information, which is the table that's attached to this memorandum, as well as the industry information, a total of $274.2 million has been disbursed to grant recipients, being 5,580 small businesses within the state of Alaska. That is is an average $49,105 to those businesses through the grants. Additionally, what I would like to highlight is that with the creation of the program, it was established that at minimum up to 20% was going to be dedicated to rural communities, because that is an important issue within the state of Alaska. We know that through currently December 2nd, that $106.1 million was allocated to rural communities, which is 2,208 business applicants from rural communities, equating to 38.7% of the program. The average grant award?
I rounded up 40%.
The average grant award was at $48,000, which is very comparable to the total program at $49,000.
Well, I will notice for the record that looking at this list, which surprises me, commercial, well, first of all, I'm surprised that it has to be related to fishing, but Kenai Peninsula Borough, 1,009 applicants, and I go down to commercial fishing, and it's by far the most, the biggest in, by industry types, 1,451 loan applications or loans given out. And I also, I'm surprised that by industry type you don't have tourism.
Well, we're breaking it down by the components that are within the different sectors of tourism.
Recreation is tourism?
If I can add to that, this is Julie Anderson. So tourism is included in accommodations and food service, hospitality, retail. It's broke out between these different NEAC codes. So
but
this
but industry is tourism.
So
oil and gas is industry, construction is industry, tourism is industry.
These are by the NAIC codes.
But it has to be that the I just, again, I'm surprised that commercial fishing is that many.
And in regards to the amount of applications that were approved and dispersed on the Kenai Peninsula, we have to give credit to the Arter down there that did a very, very strong effort to actually go out and meet with small businesses throughout, not just the fishing industry, but all small businesses.
Yeah.
They made a very, very focused effort on making sure that they helped their businesses.
The executive director,
almost 40% going to rural communities.
The executive director in that borough is Tim Dillon. He has done an excellent job.
Okay.
Ultimately, too, what I would like to point out is that amongst the program, it was really effectively spread fairly evenly, with Credit Union 1 having processed about $84.4 million of the program. JEDC, the Juneau Economic Development Council, again, a very key partner on this process, has processed $94.4 million. And ADA and TCCED, in both these components, principally with the larger group and processing by DCCED and a smaller group, but with the payment processing that was put in place, we collectively have distributed $95.4 million of the program.
All right.
The last stage of it that is occurring, and just want to make sure that the board is aware of this, is that we have engaged BDO as a auditor to review the project compliance review of our program operators, in this case Credit Union 1 and the Juneau Economic Development Council, as a final step in that engagement contract with them. Additionally, ADA has engaged the Yukon Accounting and Consulting Company, that is based out of Fairbanks, to do a statistically significant portion of the grant applicants or grant agreements that are currently in place, doing a review of the program compliance by those parties under the grant agreement. Now, the notices have already been sent out to those parties that have been randomly selected for that that component, and we are looking at both of these reports to be concluded by the end of the year.
Or Anna?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I've raised my hand a couple times. I just wanted to state for the record again that there is a potential conflict of interest. I became aware mid-September that my husband's family and small business had applied for a grant through this program. I made that statement at our last meeting, too. I just wanted to state again that I filed the appropriate documents when I found out about that application to my ethics supervisor, and then ran that through the administration's review as well, and just wanted to put that on the record for any of those in the public that might be interested in that particular disclosure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Anna.
Mr. Chairman, on that note, what I would like to also add and would like to recognize is that ADA board and staff have received a little over $400,000 through the AK CARES program with individual grant applications. And I would like to identify the fact that the Department of Law has reviewed the question of AK CARES grant applications from public employees, board, and commission members and their families. The department considered the Ethics Act prohibition on influencing state grants, contracts, leases, or loans, which is under Alaska Statute 3952-150, and has determined that potential concerns under the provision are outweighed by the fact that this disaster aid is available to all Alaskan small businesses negatively impacted by the pandemic. A public officer's personal or financial interest in the matter does not violate the Ethics Act if that interest is one possessed by the public at large or a larger class of persons. Alaska Statute 3952-110, Clause B, if they meet eligibility criteria, all affected state employees, board, and commission members and their families are allowed to apply for AK CARES grants in the same manner as any other member of the public. Neither public servants nor their families should be restricted from applying for this disaster relief simply because they choose to serve the state either as employees or board members. None of the ADA applicants participated in any way on the review or approval of their applications.
Thank you, Alan, for putting that on the record. Further discussion?
If the chair and the board is interested, I would also like to ask Alyssa Wilson to join the conversation. She has been principally involved in the discussions with the grant applicants directly and can give you some feedback on their reception to the program and what their response has been from what DCCD, ADA, the state of Alaska has provided through the program.
Well, let's get Alyssa on the record. Welcome.
Thank you. So, as Mr. Weisner had said, I have been speaking with a lot of applicants who have come through the ADA side of the applications if they have specific questions or if there are escalated situations. From the beginning, one of the applicants that we had was Clifton Potter, who ran Gakona Lodge, and he was an absolute delight to work with. He tried to make things as clear as possible, come across the board, above the board as possible, report all of his expenses in a manner that was as clean as possible, basically. And he was willing to work with us and go back and forth and try and basically get his application as clean as possible. We got as much to him as we could, and he wrote back and said, thank you so much. You have saved our business. We are trying to keep a historic Alaskan landmark going, and you have enabled us to do that. So we have a very good relationship with him. Another lady I had spoke with was Summit Cleaners, Teresa. She's based in Kenai. When I reached out to her to see how things were going, she said it was great. We saved her business. She was able to keep all of her employees employed, and those that she lost that had to go away just due to financial reasons, she was able to hire new people in and keep her business going, which especially down in the Kenai, with tourism being down the way it is, as she explained, this was a very big deal. And so she was very grateful for everything that the AK CARES program has done.
Thank you. Good to hear good feedback. And I will tell you, personally, I appreciate you following up with the good Alaska businesses that are needing the help. Any further discussion from board members on this one?
This is Julie Anderson. I'd just like to make one comment. Similar to Alyssa's, the staff within the Department of Commerce, and I know the program operators, JEDC and CU1, have all heard a lot of comments of appreciation for this program. So it had a rough start, but I appreciate the board's patience and ADA's patience as we work through all of the different intricacies of trying to put together a program in a very short period of time and really make a difference to the businesses that are truly impacted. So I appreciate that. As you know, we're coming to the end of the year. We need to have the money spent, dispersed by the end of the month. So it is coming to a close. And unfortunately, there are still businesses out there that do need help. And as we get to the final decision, we will make sure and communicate with all of the applicants that will not be receiving funding, that there are other avenues for assistance and make sure that they have that information available to them. Because as many of you have stated throughout the day, you know, this crisis is not over by any means. So we'll continue to do what we can to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further discussion? All right, here and now we're going to move on to item number F, Ada Board Meeting Schedule 2021. In our packets, we have a meeting schedule for 2021. Has everybody had a chance to take a look at it? Based on this today, does anybody have any problems with it?
Mr. Chairman, I was going
to... Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Annie, I'll let you go first.
Mr. Chairman, I see that we don't have a proposed meeting in February. And I am wondering whether we should insert a meeting for February for strategic planning or, for strategic planning.
Well, it's a good question, a good point. What I'd like to do with the board's acceptance is make sure this meeting schedule is publicized. Then Alyssa can poll the board about February. When people are available for those dates, and then we'll publicize that too. Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. I was going to make a request to the board if we could. We have initially indicated a date of January 6th for the board meeting in January. It's very close to the time period of Christmas, New Year's, coming through with the preparation and. Knowing what we're anticipating is coming up for the agenda in January, if we could please move that date out either 1 week or 2 weeks, that would give us sufficient time to prepare the information for the board meeting.
I had January 13th.
I have January 6th.
Why do I have the 13th?
Psychic, and you knew that they were going to ask for it.
How does the 13th sound for everybody?
Well, it's not a Friday.
It's the following Wednesday.
Yeah, I have last regular board meeting set date.
Well, good, you can go to that. Put your mask.
Oh,
on.
Good. Now we'll have a vote without you.
We can rescind, right?
I hear a train a coming.
What about the 20th? Inauguration day.
Yeah.
Well, the 14th is wide open. Does it have to be on a Wednesday?
It is. It is always been scheduled for a Wednesday.
I can't either.
Sounds like we should probably work this offline.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we should do this offline.
Good. Well, the intent was to just raise the issue of the schedule.
By the way, I thought it was the 13th. I won't be in town on the 6th, so I get back on the 6th because I wanted to be back for my 7 days before the 13th.
Mr. Chairman, what I take from the discussion is that we will take it back. We will send the proposed schedule that would include a January date and the February date, and with approval from the board feedback from the board, we will send out the new schedule to everyone
okay. And
post it publicly.
Sounds good.
Why don't we do the January and the February meeting at the same time? We have one in January and the next day February, January 31st and February 1st. Killed. Two birds with one stone.
January is a Sunday.
31st. Okay, we'll meet on a Sunday. That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the ice bar.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll tell you what, it's very cool.
All right, so we're under director's comments next. Item number 8.
Mr. Chairman, item 8A was an update to the policy that we have concerning ADA's authorizations and delegation. Under ADA's bylaws, the executive director has been assigned by the board to create certain policies governing authorizations and delegation. This is an update to that policy, which is defining the fact that any commitments, binding commitments, memorandums of understanding, or other instruments of the authority as authorized by the board of directors shall make reports to the board of directors and shall perform other such duties is limited to the executive director unless a specific delegation is provided by the executive director or it's a delegation that is directly from the board to that individual. So this is an update to existing policy.
Okay.
Bernie?
Mr. Chairman, a couple things. First of all, I'd like to thank the staff and especially the two executive directors for the work that goes on here, especially with what's happening in these tough times. I think they've done a yeoman's job of taking care of the work of the state and for this board. And I'd also like to make a statement that I'm working on a gas line for the state of Alaska. It has nothing to do with the Alaska Gas Line Development Authority. It has nothing to do with the state of Alaska other than I'm a private citizen trying to push this gas line along. It's an unpaid position, like I have time for one more thing in my agenda. But I don't get paid for my efforts. I'm a strong advocate for it. I can tell you that I was originally totally against it, 100% against it, and I spoke verbally. And I told our last governor he's a one-trick pony, and the only thing he thought about was this gas line. But then I traveled to China, and I listened, and I was involved in this thing, and I saw what happened in China, and I saw how needed the gas is in the Pacific Rim. And I believe there's a real opportunity for this, and it doesn't enrich Bernie Carl in any way, but I think it enriches the state. Ada's not involved in it. The state's not involved in it. I want to make sure that's on the record because there's people that think that possibly I'm getting enriched from it. That's totally, they're misinformed. The only one that's going to be enriched is from my effort is the state of Alaska. And if there is a gas line, there'll be branch lines coming to Fairbanks. There'll be a branch line going up to Red Dog Mine. There's opportunity. There's zero opportunity having all of our gas locked up and stranded. Zero opportunity for the state. You're talking about a big project that needs to come forward? That'll be the big project. But
so Bernie, you said you went to China? That's where you learned it?
Yes.
Was Hunter with you? You need to put him on your board. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist that.
Actually, he was. Well, he was along. And yes. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. I mean, he wants to play that game. I, too, can play that game. He was not along. Please, this is under public comments. He was not along. Chairman, that's out of line. Can I have that hammer? That's out of line, what you said.
All right,
Anna, can you say something to him, please?
I'm moving on.
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question when the time is right.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I'm back on item 7F, and I just want to be clear for the public. Did we approve, we're approving the meeting schedule for 2021 except the January 6th date, and the only reason we haven't set that today is because we need to coordinate so that we have a majority, if not all of our board members available to attend that January meeting?
That's correct.
Okay, so that then we don't have to take a formal action. That's what I was... Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You're moving along fast, I hope, Alan.
Right, we have the update that's to the organizational chart. This was in direct relation to what we were talking about under executive session with personnel. This is updating and providing information to the public of our current organization structure, what the PCNs we have established, the positions that we're looking to establish for that, and should be reflective of the most recent conversations that we have had. Resolution number 1921 report is related to a specific request, which was funding that was allocated in the year 2019 or fiscal year 2019 for the Amber Access Project and for the West Ascendant Access Project. There has been no change in the funding requirements of those projects under that specific resolution to this point, and this is just an update to that report. Under the resolution number G1118, this is relative to the initial development capital that was established by this board in 2011. There has been no change to any other allocation under that G1118. That is due to the fact that all of the funds that were allocated by the board for it, development capital, were expended. There is no remaining funds that are available. So this is an ongoing report of what that resolution was spent on, the funds that were actually returned. Additionally, you have attached for your review the update on the project matrices to give you an idea currently with asset management portfolio and with the infrastructure development portfolio, the projects they are working on, and the current update with those projects. And then we have the...
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Anna.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On item 8E, the infrastructure development, and the Bocan Mountain. I've been following the website for, Unicorn. And they're really starting to spit out quite a few press releases, and I'm wondering if Ada has been in contact with how they're advancing. They do tout that they own 100% of that asset. As they're going forward, are we going to see development soon?
Through the chair, Ms. McKinnon, we have been in contact on an ongoing basis with the management group behind Bocan, specifically the UCOR entity, and they do have a proposal in place that we are currently reviewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Alan. Continue, Alan.
The final element is 8F, which is for the public review on the and update to the legislature on the Interior Energy Project quarterly report.
All right. Question for Alan? Board comments, item number 9. Come on now. There's got to be something out there.
Sure.
Oh, Julie?
Mr. Chair, today we covered many topics that, though not easy or simple at times to discuss, are really great examples of why I'm proud to serve on the board. Some of the decisions we've made this year have been difficult, but I really appreciated the updates we heard today. In partnership with DCCED and JEDC, aid has provided critical relief to more than 5,000 businesses, 2,200 of which were in rural areas. Approving a full or 50% dividend, which is the max for our statutory authority, was only made possible through the hard work of ADA staff and through the leadership team, and I'm really grateful for that. And then the AK Safe Guarantee Program, which has preserved more than 600 jobs for Alaska. All of those things make me incredibly proud to serve on this board, and I appreciate all the work of staff and the members of the board. I would like to say I'm concerned about the number of vacant positions ADA currently has reflected on its org chart and would encourage more work and communication between the Division of Personnel, OMB, and ADA staff, as the delivery of programs critical to our mission can't be done without the staff to do it.
Thank you. And I will note that there's a high unemployment rate, and so maybe there's some people out there that we can tap.
Mr. Chair.
Julie?
Yes, I, too, appreciate all the work of the staff and working with the board. This board is a delight to work with. I appreciate your commitment. And I am also concerned about being able to fill these positions quickly, and I am concerned about the org chart. So I have talked to Ada about this, and I will do everything I can in my power to make sure we can move this process through quicker than has been in the past.
Thank you, Commissioner. Further comments? Bill, Albert, Bernie?
I made enough, don't you think?
Yeah. Anna? Well, I'd like to thank, in closing, I'd like to thank the staff. Good lunch. Good information. I will make note that we're getting more and more good information as time goes on. And Alan, I appreciate that. Appreciate the board members' time and patience and due diligence. And we're proud of the accomplishments we have done. Tomorrow, next year is another day. Can't rest on our laurels. And I would encourage all of us that. Because of what we're seeing out there and with our fellow businessmen, our fellow neighbors, folks that are hurting right now, that we everything we can to identify areas that within our preview, you know, where our statutory ability to help where we can. With that, I will take a motion for adjournment.
I make a motion to adjourn. This is Bernie.
This is Bill, second.
Any objections? The ADA board meeting is adjourned. Thank you.